I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
Good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is where you will find a safe space for you independent thinkers out there beholden to no party, no politicians, just calling them like we see them here. Lots to get to today. I've kind of said that I don't know if it's completely pointless to talk about coronavirus at this particular point, but it is very difficult for me to not comment on what appears to be absolute mass insanity in this country. And it keeps getting crazier, but I think I may have found some explanations for that, and so we'll talk a little bit about that today along with some regular news. My quote of the day today, if I get to this story, it'll be appropriate, but it just ran across it this weekend. Quote, I don't want to live in a world where everything that I say, everything I do, everybody I talk to, every expression of creativity or love or friendship is recorded. And this is a quote from our buddy Edward Snowden. There was some talk week before last, Donald Trump had kind of floated the idea that some of the people around him might want to see Edward Snowden actually pardoned. He said there were people kind of pushing for it. Well, Mike Pompeo, the warmonger that Trump has hired as the Secretary of State, has come out and said that, William Barr, actually. I'll take that back. My apologies to the warmonger, Mike Pompeo. He has called for the execution of both Assange and Edward Snowden himself, but William Barr, the deep state stooge that is now the Attorney General for the country, said in absolutely no way he believes that Edward Snowden is a traitor. We may get to more of that story in just a second. Usually start shows with a little bit of financial news. The stock market is up again on hopes of the COVID plasma treatment last night. Donald Trump had a press conference where he talked about emergency authorization for the use of blood plasma treatments for COVID-19. Apparently, I think the statistic was a 35% better survival rate for people that use these antibodies. I actually got a doctor friend who just made a comment sometime back, several weeks ago. We were talking about plasma, and he just kind of shook his head. I didn't really dig into it, but I see him quite often. I'm gonna ask him what he thinks about these blood plasma treatments. It's interesting to me. Still, we are, 6 months into this thing? AstraZeneca's got their pump and dump as well. News came out that AstraZeneca may be getting a emergency use authorization for their vaccine maybe sometime in October, and their stock went up. So a lot of the players we've seen, most notoriously Moderna, but we've seen Merck, we've seen all these companies get mentioned in one way or the other, and their stocks go up, usually to be kind of debunked a few days later, but AstraZeneca is having their day in the pump and dump sunshine today on this emergency use, yet still not a word out of anybody from any podium that I've seen at the state level or the federal level talking about vitamin D, talking about quercetin, talking about vitamin C. Nope. We're going to transfuse you with somebody else's blood that's got antibiotics. This is, of course, par for the course. In the last 2 weeks, three health insurance conglomerates have reported blockbuster earnings. United Health had its most profitable quarter in history. Anthem doubled its profit from Q2 in 2019. And Cigna beat Wall Street expectations. The Wall Street Journal captured it best when the paper proclaimed in a headline, quote, health insurers' coronavirus boost is likely to last. And this is maybe a little counterintuitive, but when you stop and think about it, what's happened for the health insurance companies, there's just been so many beneficiaries on the Wall Street level for coronavirus. Yeah, it's inconvenient that 30 million Americans are still on the unemployment rolls. It's inconvenient that 50% of small businesses in some areas are shuttered for good. But Wall Street's doing just great in what I call the W-shaped recovery, the W meaning for Wall Street. And probably it may be a W-shaped recovery if we have another stock market crash and then another bounce from that. That's always a possibility. But the W in my mind stands for the Wall Street recovery. Health insurers really have done well. Look at it this way. Think about this. Think about the COVID policy and what is unleashed and how great this was for health insurers. Now, I'm haven't seen this written down, but when I saw this headline, seeing that health insurers had just knocked it the cover off the ball in terms of earnings, it made me just think in my independent thinking mind, well, I wonder how exactly that works, but really it's quite genius. You empty the hospitals. You emptied the medical centers for months. Nobody wants to go see a doctor, right? Nobody wants to go to a hospital. So nobody is actually filing claims for things that they would normally file claims from, everything from an office visit to a chemo session. Now, some people have been undergoing chemo, but it's been down. So the charges against health insurers have obviously been down too. Fewer people seeking medical help for traditional medical procedures, a lot of elective procedures have been canceled for months and months and months. So they're not paying out on those yet. They're still charging their premiums every single month. You tack on to that the fact that the federal government is largely paying for COVID treatments. This is my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's my understanding that if you were to go seek treatment for COVID-related problems, there was no out-of-pocket to you that the government covered anything for COVID. I don't even think it was the insurance companies that had to pay for COVID stuff. If COVID was part of the diagnosis, then the government stepped up and made sure that everybody got treatment for that. So it's been a blockbuster few months for the health insurers. This adds to the list that we went through last week, which was, let's see, Walmart, Target, Apple, and Tesla have just been knocking the cover off the ball again. The biggest Wall Street firms. COVID was the gift that keeps on giving. For the rest of us, not so much. We've got the GOP convention starting today. I'm pretty uninterested in this one as I was the last one. And I don't know if people want to hear that. I feel like there's going to be 22 hours across conservative media commenting on the Democratic Committee or the Democratic Party's convention last week, and there will be 22 hours of people commenting on the Republican convention. And of course, depending on which side of the aisle you are on, the other parties is always terrible and yours is always great. If people want that for this 2 hours too, I guess I'd be willing to comment on it and put some time into it. But for right now, I just pretty much ignore it. I'm much more interested in what's going on right now, and what's going on right now across this country is the only thing I can describe it as mass insanity. I'm going to try to unpack it a little bit today. There was just some interesting headlines, some concerning headlines, some things we need to get out in front of when it comes to COVID. This thing is not over. On the hysteria scale, I fear we are heading into what I played last week, which is the clip calling it a twindemic. We're heading into that, and Virginia is the first state to make a very concerning statement. I think people in Mississippi are wise to pay attention to it now rather than after it's happened. So we'll get to that and more when we come back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Stay with me.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com.
Has anybody out there seen anybody change their mind on the severity or the lockdowns, anything like that, of anybody over the last couple of months. You know what I mean? Somebody who might have supported it all and realized that it has really gone too far, because I'm seeing very little evidence of anybody who's changing their mind, which has made me kind of hesitant, you know, beating a dead horse. As a matter of fact, a listener sent me a very good email about somebody had written some questions kind of about COVID and what we're doing. And this listener obviously was as mystified as I am. Exactly what's going on here? Why are we freaking out so bad? And it's mystifying. And it's something that I don't see many. It is a camp. These are camps that people are in, whether it's masks or whether it's vaccines, whether it is. And nobody really is open to hearing other things. But I can't help but comment on it, because it is starting in Virginia. Apparently it is starting, as Friday's hospitalization numbers across the Sun Belt appear to confirm CDC head Robert Redfield's assertion that the American COVID-19 outbreak has peaked and is starting to fade. The state of Virginia is setting a new precedent. All of this is precedence. This is the concern about it that people don't understand. So many people think, and it doesn't matter what it is, Patriot Act, in any of these things, we're always convinced, oh, well, it was an emergency. We had to do something. The problem is that they always build on that something if it's a terrible idea. The government never takes a little bit of power and then just gives it away. Okay. All right. Sorry to inconvenience everybody. We just really thought that was serious. We're going to unravel everything. Hopefully we'll never have to use that power again. No. Every time the government starts doing something, and I don't care, state level, local level, a federal level, when they get this power, they do not let go of it. Are you scared? Is anybody even talking about terrorism in the United States right now? Have we talked about it for 15 years? Seriously. You know, we had the alerts, the color codes. They convinced us there was a terrorist behind every tree. They were going to kill us all. Nobody talks about terrorism, and hasn't for 10 or 15 years. I don't think there's been any talk of terrorism since the financial crisis. But have they unwound any of the spying that they do? Have they unwound or stopped the Patriot Act? No, they reauthorize it and juice it up every time it comes up for a vote, Republican or Democrat. It doesn't matter. They want to keep those spying powers on the American people. Nobody listening to the sound of my voice has even thought about terrorism in the past 10 years. None of you. But they don't undo all of the... You're still being molested at the airports, aren't you? Can't carry a bottled water on the onto a plane. They never relinquish these powers. And for the life of me, I don't know why we don't get out ahead of this. I'm about to make a point where there's something we need to get out ahead of. It may be too late because the precedent has kind of already said, I'll talk about that in a second, the state of Virginia is setting a new precedent by seriously discussing forcing Virginians to be vaccinated with whatever rush-to-market candidate the FDA approves first. During an interview that aired on Friday, the state's health commissioner said he planned to invoke state law to make vaccinations mandatory. This is a southern state. This is not California. This is not Washington State. This is Virginia. Yeah, they've looked to be moving to a blue state, but still full of southerners, probably a lot of conservative people still living in Virginia. Not near the D.C. area, but the rest of the state. During an interview that aired Friday, the state's health commissioner said he planned to invoke state law to make vaccinations mandatory. And there's people, I know there's people listening right now who goes, yeah, that's what we should do. All these anti-vaxxers, these anti-science people. Now you need to line them up and give them all the shots so that you protect my kid, my grandmother. This is one of those things, we need to get out ahead of this. I'm going to make sure that I contact Tate Reeves' office this week. Thomas Dobbs needs to be put on notice. He should not attempt this in Mississippi, but I bet he will. Why do I think that our legislature would stand down? Have you noticed the legislature's been completely silent during all of this stuff? Shutdowns, people going out of business. Unemployment rate in Mississippi has doubled. This Thomas Dobbs guy, he may just be the nicest guy in the world. He might be a great guy to sit down and have a cup of coffee with. May do a bunch of charity work and good stuff, but he has become a tyrant. A finger-wagging authoritarian. Going after anybody who dares to have the least little bit of fun here. The college students, oh, he was so disappointed. And the fraternity members who got together for a party. That's kind of funny. That was a couple of months ago. That these fraternity people, I haven't heard of any big pockets of death of college students, have you? But Mississippi also has some of the most draconian vaccination stuff for our children. They've already decided that our children are not ours, that they will make all the decisions for your children. And that we have one of the, I think we're one of two states that do not have exemptions for vaccinations. You basically have to prove that your child is borderline killed by the first vaccine they got to get any kind of waiver in Mississippi. Mississippi, the least informed choice state in the country. And so if you are concerned about a forced vaccination of something that was given to you at warp speed, and many people are not, but apparently it's only about 30% of the people right now are just really down with standing in lines. I know what will happen as soon as this thing comes out. You'll see clinics. Line will be down the road. I guess it used to be in person. Now it'll be in cars. It'll be 6-mile traffic jam, people waiting to get the vaccine when this or that medical clinic gets it. But I think that's only about 30% of the people as of right now. That may be why they think they need to make it mandatory. See, what they'll say is, oh, people are buying into all of this internet stuff. We need to mandate it because people are too stupid to act in their own best interest. We need to take over from here. And they'll tell us things like, oh, well, you want to get open, right? You want to open your businesses? You want to go back to your football games? Well, then get the vaccine. They've already done this with the masks, haven't they? Most vaccines, I think, take about 7 years to get to market, and they're still not safe for everybody. They're going to rush this one in 7 months and make it mandatory? Are you kidding me? And there are people that are cheering for this? For a disease that is, you have a 99.98% survivability for? Well, Virginia, this is, as I say, this is a precedent set in Virginia. It's coming to Mississippi. People need to let Tate Reeves and Thomas Dobbs know we are not down with a forced mandatory vaccination. I already think we're going to run into problems where they say, well, the government's not mandating it, but you're not going to get any life insurance. You're not going to get any health insurance. You're not going to be able to get a job. In some stores, you're not going to be able to go into unless you show them your vaccination papers. That's probably already coming. That's okay with me if we have to go through all that. I will make sure I do not shop at any store that has lost its mind and says I have to be vaccinated to pick up a box of Stevia. But we should get out ahead of this and make sure that Tate Reeves' office, Thomas Dobbs' office, knows, hey, if you want to put out a vaccine, that's fine. You want to encourage people to take a vaccine, that's fine. If you want to make it mandatory, that is no good. Trump tweeted this weekend, the deep state or whoever of the FDA is making it very difficult for drug companies to get people in order to test the vaccines and therapeutics. Obviously, they are hoping to delay the answer until after November 3rd. Must focus on speed and saving lives. Yeah, I'm not so interested in speed with a vaccination. I've got two kids, unfortunately, in college. I'm going to have to make that decision for them because I know these college nut job authoritarians freak out people, and maybe this is why I'm doing this whole segment. I'm so sick of this freaking out. I am so sick of it. It's ridiculous. Americans have become scared of their own shadows. But again, you set the precedent with stuff like terrorism and global warming and everything else where everybody's just constant fear-mongering to people that we're all going to die. And I bring up the terrorism all the time because that really got to the right. There are a lot of people on the right who love to talk about the Constitution and limited government and the founding fathers. But boy, as soon as they told you terrorism, you gave away a ton of your rights, all of your privacy. And you said things like, the way you justified it, well, you said things like, well, if I'm not doing anything wrong, I have nothing to fear. Well, what if you're somebody who doesn't want to take the vaccine now? You better not say anything about it online or on the phone, because they'll find you. We got one of those vaccine deniers out there. Look at that. We got his texts, his phone calls, his voicemails, everything right here. He's leading a movement to stop the vaccinations. They go out there and get him, put him in a re-education camp, because you gave them all that power because they scared you to death with terrorism. Listen to this story I ran across. This was on MarketWatch. Here's the headline. Life will never be the same for people over 60, even with a COVID-19 vaccine. Never. Never. That's a long time. Never. Over 60 will never, ever be the same. Subheadline is, these are the likely long-term impacts on gatherings, travel, eating, medicine, home life, and even public restrooms. Got to change everything for this thing. Again, we lived through one in 1958. We lived through one in 1968, 69. Had Woodstock during a pandemic in 1969 as it was petering out. But now, and from 1969 until now, people over 60 led a pretty normal life. But not this time. Nope, not this time. This one's so bad. Listen to this. I go in and quote some people here. Listen to this guy. This is his quote from him. Quote, in the past few months, the entire world has had a near-death experience. This is Ken... I want to mispronounce his name, but I'll be careful here. Dykewald. D-Y-C-H-T-W-A-L-D. I'd like to pronounce that a different way, but I'll say Ken Dykewald, CEO of AgeWave, a think tank on aging around the world. We've been forced to stop and think, I could die, or someone I love could die. When those events happen, people think about what matters and they will do, and what they will do differently. Yeah, you know what? If you're aged, you always have the idea, I could die or someone I love could die. You know why? Because you could die or somebody that you love could die. You're a senior citizen. Most senior citizens are smart enough to make their peace with that. I'm middle-aged and I'm watching friends who are struggling for their lives right now. I have to make my peace with that. I don't think it's going to get any better from here on out. This Ken, I choose to say Dykewald. Again, his quote, in the past few months, the entire world has had a near-death experience. Are you kidding me? This is the hysteria and how it's ginned up. And I find myself wondering in the face, well, I got to take a quick break. In the face of these hurricanes, I think we need to take some immediate action. I mean, and the first one is, it's like landfall tonight. It seems to me if we carry the logic of our response from COVID-19 over to other naturally occurring dangers, we need to make some very swift changes. I'll implement them when I come back. Stay with me. All night
with the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Yeah. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. You can email me if you disagree with anything I'm talking about today. If you really believe that COVID, that we've responded appropriately with all the shutdowns and everything else, then you can send me what your concerns are and your, I would like to say evidence, but it's I don't know which is. Anyway, you can reach me, Mike Madison, at WYAB.com. Or the phone number here is 601-879-0002. I was watching the coverage of these hurricanes. You know, towards the end of last week, we pretty much knew that at least a couple of tropical storms probably going to develop into hurricanes were heading into the Gulf of Mexico. Now, with our zero tolerance that we now have from our authorities, because everything must revolve around mitigating all risk, right? We can't have any risks. They can protect us from everything. If you just submit to your loving government, they will take care of everything because they love you so much. I didn't understand. Why isn't everybody from Destin to McAllen, Texas, not being immediately evacuated inland at least 200 miles? I mean, like COVID, you remember the thing was, well, we just don't know much about these diseases. Well, you never know really much about a storm either, do you? It seems to me last week the order should have gone out. Every single living human soul on the coast from Destin down to McAllen, Texas, should have immediately been evacuated and forced out of their homes and sent 200 miles inland. At the very least, is 200 miles, is that enough? And if you were not okay with everybody being forced to evacuate, then you were quite obviously a granny killer. Because it's the vulnerable among us that are the ones that are most susceptible to storms and storm damage and not making it through. I mean, what happens if a storm hits and you don't evacuate everybody? Aren't we going to overwhelm the hospitals? We're going to overwhelm our EMS, our fire departments, our rescue teams. Isn't this our response to COVID? Why is it not extrapolated out to a deadly storm? I mean, businesses that stay open during this very dangerous time of two storms approaching the Gulf of Mexico, you businesses that are staying open are just inviting people to stay in the danger zone, and you're going to kill all your customers. Businesses, shouldn't they, if we take the COVID logic and put it to another natural threat, like a hurricane, don't businesses have to immediately shut down because they're just encouraging people to stay in these dangerous areas? High winds and rain can damage properties and injure or kill people. That's just science. The science is settled. It's a danger. As a matter of fact, I think it should even be more extrapolated out. Now that the government sets policies to mitigate all risk, without any regards to our rights as free people, able to make our own decisions and make a risk-reward, a cost-benefit analysis every single day of our lives, which is what normal functioning human beings do, they're trying to take that over for us. Thomas Dobbs will make the decisions for us because he knows, and you're too stupid to figure it out for yourself. If this is the new model where a bunch of bureaucrats and politicians make dictates on everybody about risk versus reward, they will do the cost-benefit analysis. We're just to wait and get their dictates. And if that's the case, as a matter of fact, I don't think they can even allow people to take such risk. And all cities within 200 miles of a vulnerable coastline should immediately be shut down and all residents forced to move inland. I mean, how can we allow people to populate Miami, Florida? Have you not seen the storms that have hit Florida over the years? I mean, this is the nanny, mommy government that everybody wants now. So it seems to me that they should not allow anybody to live on a coast, on the water. I mean, come on. It's going to be we're going to have just a few packed places here because I guess you got to avoid earthquake zones too. I mean, we got to shut down San Francisco, St. Louis, Los Angeles. We can't allow people to operate day to day not knowing that they're at risk of an earthquake. Do you know the amount of people that die in an earthquake? Or you could look at it rationally and just go, let people do what they do. They understand the risks. See, that's my model. But that model's being thrown out the window now. Politicians and bureaucrats and now the health authorities are telling us we're too stupid to figure out how to go about life with any level of risk. They have to take it all over. This is why I issue my park in place orders. And I got to tell you, go out and run your errands today because it's going to start raining in the next couple of days from these tropical storms, and slippery streets are more dangerous than dry streets. I don't think anybody should operate a motor vehicle for the next 4 days until the danger has passed. I mean, how irresponsible are you to be out on the roads on a slick street? You're putting everybody's lives at risk. Now, obviously, a lot of this seems absurd to people, but logically, it's very consistent to what we are allowing to happen with COVID. It's very consistent. And that is this idea that if we just do enough stuff, if the government just does enough stuff, that they will take away all risk from our lives. Here was Joe Biden. I'm going to play this clip while I look at my phone and get a text from a student up at Ole Miss. From a fraternity. It was so disappointing to see. I mean, I was in a fraternity. It doesn't matter to me if anybody's in a fraternity or not in a fraternity. But, you know, at the time, you know, we were just kids wanting to be kids. Now the fraternities have become nanny states, too. Scolding their members. You're supposed to all be part of a big club, having a good time, enjoying that part of your life. It's such a great time of your life. And whether this is a fraternity or a football team or I don't care what group it is of these young adults who are more likely to get struck by lightning than die from COVID, scolding each other, Joe Biden setting the tone for his presidency where he explains what he would do if there's a resurgence.
Sworn in come January, and we have coronavirus and the flu combining, which many scientists have said is a real possibility.
Twindemic!
Would you be prepared to shut this country down again?
I would be prepared to do whatever it takes to save lives, because we cannot get the country moving until we control the virus. That is the fundamental flaw of this administration's thinking to begin with. In order to keep the country running and moving and the economy growing and people employed, you have to fix the virus. You have to deal with the virus.
So if the scientists say shut it down?
I would shut it down. I would listen to the scientists.
Oh, my God. He shut it down again, you know, to keep the economy good. Don't know if he's looked around. There's 30 million people that were not on unemployment that are on unemployment right now. 30 million people. Millions of people at the verge of being evicted from homes and apartments. He shut it down again, you know, to keep the economy strong. This was from a fraternity out to its members. A reminder about house parties, OPD, Oxford Police Department, is sending all citations to the university to be sent to the student sent to student conduct who will process these. If your name is reported, you could face disciplinary action from the university, including fines, probation, and or dismissal from the university. Ultimately, you can make your own decisions, but I would think long and hard if you think it is worth it to run the potential risk of being kicked out of the university just for a house party. Yeah, you've worked your whole life. You've gone through 12 years of education, kept your grades up, did what you needed to do, got accepted to a university. Now you're charting your way into life. The university, though, will just go ahead and kick you straight out of the university because you went to a party. And again, the logic of this really fails me. We're seeing colleges now that are taking students who, if they go to a party, they're scolded, they're sent home. Wasn't the whole thing about students getting together, young people getting together, that they were going to take this disease home to granny, take it home to their parents, and spread it? They would say this to us. They would say, yeah, the young people, they're not very vulnerable to this. It's not so much a risk to their lives, but they risk spreading it to their parents and their grandparents. So here's what the universities do. They find a bunch of students who meet up, they kick them out of school, and they send them anyone, they send them home to their parents and their grandparents. And this is thinking at the university level. we're not talking about the supposedly not. We're not looking to mentally challenged people or the uneducated. These are our educators. These are not even just educators. They're higher education, supposedly, that are taking students that they're worried about being infected and actually sending them home back to be with a more vulnerable population of their parents and their grandparents. And this is their solution. I've got story after story on some of these things, and then I'm going to get to, it's probably going to take me into next hour, but I'm going to get to what this really is about. And it's the fear-mongering that has worked brilliantly on people when you start looking at what people see as the fear versus what the actual danger of coronavirus is. And again, I'm doing this because I can't sit back and watch people turned into sniveling little cowards, afraid to live their lives, and looking to the judgment of a bunch of bureaucrats who don't weigh both sides of the issue. They don't care about the cost to people who lose their jobs. They have a singular focus, which is coronavirus and how to mitigate it, all risk. If they just do enough, it doesn't matter what it wrecks on the other side of the ledger. It's like financial stuff. It drives me crazy to listen to Donald Trump talk about a great economy and ignore the massive amounts of debt it took us to get there. That's not a great economy. So when you listen to these authorities, these health people, politicians, they're looking at one side of the ledger, making all of their decisions based on one side of the ledger. So I'll get in with that. I've also got a very, very interesting stuff from a Dr. Brian Stauffer. He's the head of cardiology at Denver Health. This is some of the other side of the ledger stuff when you hear what's been going on in Colorado during these lockdowns. Stay with me. I'll be right back. All night
with the king. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
Now, a couple of weeks ago, I did a kind of a segment. I was just curious, and I think this is a question for anybody who believes that these lockdowns, that we need to empower the government to do any draconian thing possible. Anything that they dictate, as long as it stems the tide of coronavirus. And I asked the question, you know, how many jobs is my life worth? And I would think that you could make an argument that, and I'm not talking about just my life, but anybody's life, one person losing their job so that someone else could live, if there was some kind of a weird scenario where that was possible. I mean, on balance, you would say losing a life is more important than losing a job, but at some point it gets a little murky. I don't know where it is. Five jobs. Is my life worth five people losing their financial future? I don't think so, to be honest with you. It's certainly in 10. Right now we have, for every death, it's something where 350 or 390 jobs have been lost, and the job losses are still going on. We had 1.1 million people last week file for unemployment. I would just ask anybody who, even in the vulnerable, and I know people who are in vulnerable populations that feel like I do. They say, well, I'm staying home. I know a good friend of mine right now is undergoing chemotherapy. He's got very aggressive cancer right now. He doesn't need to be outside. I would tell him to be careful, and he is being careful, and I understand it, but I don't think he thinks that, you know, 300 people need to lose their jobs to protect him. Why would I destroy? What's so special about me that 300 families should be thrown into chaos and lose jobs and careers and marriages so that I might live another week. I could get hit by a bus the week after you lose your job. But nobody considers this stuff. I mean, the people who are so hysterical about this, at what cost? They act like there's no cost to this. Like it's all, it's just science. It's this, oh God, if I hear that anymore. Oh, it's just, we're based on the science. You just heard Joe Biden say it. The science. This is Joe Biden that's been following the climate change science for the last 40 years, wrong at every turn. Here's a little bit more science to you. You want to hear some statistics for any of you who think you need to follow the science? Dr. Brian Stauffer is head of cardiology at Denver Health. He and his colleagues wanted to figure out why the number of people arriving at the hospital suffering from cardiac arrest had plummeted in recent months. According to the Colorado Sun, looking at data on ambulance calls in Denver, they found that while overall calls for service went down during the stay-at-home period, the number of people dying from cardiac arrest at home shot up. Stauffer's team found that cardiac arrests at home in Denver more than doubled in the 2 weeks after the statewide stay-at-home order was issued compared with historical averages. Even compared with more recent data, the weekly average of out-of-hospital cardiac arrests jumped to 48 during those 2 weeks versus 26 or 27 in the 3 months prior. Stauffer and his colleagues found that the number of people in Denver who died of cardiac arrest at home in the 2 weeks following the statewide stay-at-home order was greater than the total number of people who died of COVID-19 in the city during that time. Huh. So we're saving lives. The only problem with saving lives for all of the lockdowns and everything else is that it's costing lives. And I think we're just getting started on that. The effects from COVID-19 going forward are not going to be health-related. They're going to be mental health-related. They're going to be long-lasting in a lot of different areas. Of course, I think the only thing I have seen on the mainstream media where they're talking about the fact that people aren't going to hospitals to get, you know, routine treatments and routine screenings or whatever else. Look, I could do whole shows on the idea that people would be better off taking care of their own health. Missing a doctor's appointment, in many cases, isn't the worst thing in the world if you're actually doing something to reclaim your health and improve your diet and get your own nutrition in line. But I digress. The only thing I've heard the mainstream media talking about is that, oh my gosh, some of the children aren't getting their vaccines. They've started opening up these facilities around the country to make sure that the kids can stay up to date on their vaccines. People are dying at home from cardiac arrest, but they're going to make sure these kids get their vaccines. Chronic conditions for children have gone up from 6% to 54% since the vaccination stuff's coming. You know, the number of vaccines, the 72 vaccines or whatever they get before age 6 now. Chronic conditions shoot through the roof. Don't look at that. Want to make sure that the kids can get their vaccines. Yeah, you can die at home from a heart attack, but make sure those kiddies get their shots.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so. You tell me that you
love. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. We're talking a little bit about, I just can't help myself. I can't help myself. I'm watching the country go insane. I've been watching people go insane politically for quite a while. Now I'm watching people go insane with this coronavirus stuff. I can't help but comment on it because it's so obviously terrible for this country. And to be honest with you, it is happening around the world. This is not a plot to get to Donald Trump. They will use it to try to hurt Donald Trump. But this is a global. I don't care so much about other countries. Other countries aren't supposed to be like the United States. We're supposed to be free people. That's what sets us apart. I don't know if anybody even knows that anymore. There's so many comparisons to, we want our healthcare system like X, Y, and Z. We want this like X, Y, and Z. No, we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be free to do what we want. The GOP convention is starting today. I think they missed a huge opportunity. I don't know why the Republicans did not take their convention to South Dakota. It just seems like a slam dunk across the board. There may be political considerations to have an in-person thing will be viewed as dangerous. And if there was an outbreak, then it would be reported breathlessly by the media. So I guess maybe that's it. But they should have gone to South Dakota, who did not do the lockdowns. I think they're one of only a couple of states in the country that did not impose, didn't have an authoritarian governor to go out there and impose all these lockdowns. They've had very good success. They're at the bottom of the heap when it comes to infections per 100,000. I think we've got seven times as many here in Mississippi that they have in South Dakota. And South Dakota has this mayor, very attractive lady, Kristi Noem. And she's one of the reasons I'm so high on her. She may have some ideas and policies I disagree with. She may be an establishment Republican. I don't know. But she sent out a tweet saying, look, there's risk in every day you move about your life. We learn to live with risks. We adjust our behavior based on risk. At least she doesn't think it's her job to force people to shut down businesses and lose jobs because she sees a risk and she's the arbiter of how you handle it. She's letting the people decide, and they've got a very, very, very low infection rate and death rate in South Dakota. The Republicans should have gone there. Republicans should have gone there, had an in-person convention to try to coax people out of their turtle shells for all the scaredy cats out there and let them know it's okay. It's okay to get together. Maybe they don't have as big of a convention as they do before, but they should have done something. I'm pretty disappointed in the Republicans for cowing to this whole idea of this virtual nonsense in the first place, although I don't carry water for either one of these parties. I wish they'd both go away. They need to start from scratch. This headline, though, came in from New York, or the story came in. There is no dancing allowed in New York's bars and restaurants, even at a wedding reception, according to New York State Liquor Authority. To control the spread of coronavirus, Governor Andrew Cuomo's Liquor Authority has also specifically banned darts, pool, cornhole, karaoke, and exotic dancing. You can't play pool. You can't play cornhole. I mean, I'm telling you, this is setting some precedents that are going to be very, very hard to unwind. Now, look, it's up to New Yorkers. New Yorkers are going through such tremendous pain right now. If you've seen any of the pictures of downtown New York, of Manhattan, one of the most vibrant, busy, hectic cities, if you've seen any of the footage of that, there's couple of videos that have gone viral where they're just driving down the main drags in Manhattan and it's just nothing but boarded up businesses forced to close because of coronavirus. And if they even did try to reopen, the windows were smashed because of rioters and looters. Look, New York, you hung yourself. New York needs to fix New York's problems. It'll be very interesting to see if they continue to go with this Democratic leadership at the city and state level. If they do, good luck to you. I think a lot of people, they're talking about in, I think it's New York, where they're saying that moving companies can't even get to people. They're putting up, they're turning down jobs. There's so many people moving out of New York. One hedge fund guy, James Altucher, came out and said New York City is dead for good. Because what's happening is it's a circling the drain issue. Things have finally become so bad that people are leaving. They're taking the tax base with them. They're trying to shut down their economy, which is going to hurt revenues. And shutting down the economy, which has hurt revenues, is also forcing people out. So their tax base is leaving at the same time. This is a self-fulfilling prophecy. New York City may not be long for this world. And that's what they deserve. I could say the same for Jackson, Mississippi. And I cheer for Jackson. I want to see Jackson do well, but if you keep voting for the same kinds of people and you see, keep raising taxes and chasing the people out of Jackson, you give them bad schools and raise the taxes, yeah, you're going to have a lot of people leave. You're getting what you deserve. And it needs to be fixed at the local level. The federal government can't do anything about it, although they will try. I guess I'll take a quick break because the clip's kind of long. Because I keep looking at this and saying, why are people freaking out? Because I see the numbers, man. I mean, when you seriously have got all this stuff going on about the schools and these college parties and everything else, knowing that these kids under 21 are more likely to get struck by lightning and killed than died of coronavirus. And I just say, why in the world is everybody freaking out so bad? They're allowing people like Thomas Dobbs and Anthony Fauci and Andrew Cuomo to close down their businesses and destroy their jobs and their livelihoods. And I just look at that and say, why would you allow that? Why in the world would you allow that? There is a story. I may get to it later, flesh it out a little bit. But the basic concept of it was there was a story out on AP where it said, well, I tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and find this story. It was kind of stunning to me in what the insinuation was. Here it is. Emails show businesses held sway over state reopening plans. This is couched as some kind of a bad thing. As South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster prepared to announce the end of a coronavirus stay-at-home order, his top staff received an email from the state health department. The message highlighted in bold was clear: wait longer before allowing customers back inside restaurants, hair salons, and other businesses where people will be close and in contact. Instead, this is the AP story, instead, McMaster pressed ahead with a plan written by the State Restaurant Association to resume inside dining on May 11th. The guidelines made masks optional for employees and allowed more customers inside than the health agency had advised. The whole point of this article is that businesses were weighing in. How dare they? How dare they? The local businesses in South Carolina or any state, how dare they? They are the people. Does AP not understand? See, we've set up this system to where the politicians are supposedly this special class of people. They make all the decisions, and the little people like us, we just wait to hear what we can and can't do. That is completely on its head for what a representative government is supposed to be, right? People who have jobs and own businesses, the people in power are supposed to be representing them, not the health agencies. Thomas Dobbs here in Mississippi is a bureaucrat. He should be there to inform us. He should let us know what's going on. That's his specialty. But he should not be the decision maker. He doesn't run the government. He is an employee of ours. Just think about that to all you business owners that have lost businesses or people that have lost jobs. One of your employees shut you down. Now, AP has a real problem with the fact that businesses, businesses that are fighting for their lives against these bureaucrats and these politicians, AP thinks it's just terrible that they weighed in and held any political sway. They think it should only be the health authorities. Nobody else should have a seat at the table. Because, again, it's the science. The science is settled. And I just told you about Denver, who's seeing double the heart attacks, deaths at home because of what we've done. So this is not even saving lives. It is insane. But I'm going to get back with this clip that explains why we've lost our minds like this. And it's essentially the same reason we lost our minds after 9/11, when they tried to sell us that terrorism, that people in the Middle East were trying to come over here and take our stuff and kill us all. There's a lot of people who still believe that. It's all based on fear, and it's very effective, and I'll show you the results of it when we come back. Stay with me.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
So I could read this off, but there was a good clip on this to explain to you what fear-mongering does. It's wildly effective. It's why they use it. It's why they tried to use it with climate change, or not tried. They have successfully. There's a lot of people. I mean, we've seen these teachers who've got their kids, these 10-year-old kids, freaked out that they're all going to die when they turn 20 because the climate or the planet's about to burn up. It's fear-mongering, and it is disgusting, but it's very, very effective. Listen to what people think. You know, the polls have been taken, and you know, to a lot of people who are fellow travelers with me or with people who are rebelling against these lockdowns and stuff, this is kind of old news, but you just have to understand there are so many people that don't take the time to actually look at the facts. Now, they're fine with going out in the street and screaming about stuff or what, based on nothing, just the group think. But they don't actually pay any attention. They don't. They'll tell you the science is settled on this or that, but they don't pay any attention to the science. They just listen to whoever interpreted the science for them, and they just go for it. They don't understand actually what's going on. But they are the reason. These people who are so wildly uninformed are the reason that we put up with so much, the reason that so many of these draconian policies come down on us.
Taking sensible precautions to prevent the spread of coronavirus is one thing, but violent public meltdowns is something entirely different. The results of a jaw-dropping poll that received barely any media attention provides us with a stunning insight. A survey by research firm Keck CNC asked Americans how many people they thought had died from coronavirus in the United States. Out of 1,000 people asked, the average answer for how many people had died from COVID-19 in America was 9% of the population. That's almost 30 million people. To emphasize, the average American thinks coronavirus, which has killed around 155,000 people in the US, has actually killed 30 million. That's 225 times higher than the real figure. That's incredible. Americans also overestimate the number of total coronavirus cases by a factor of 20. It's a similar case in the UK, where respondents said coronavirus had killed 7% of the population, which equates to 5 million people. It's actually killed less than 50,000. So Brits think that coronavirus is 100 times deadlier than it actually is. The survey also reveals that across all countries, people think that 5 to 12% of people have caught coronavirus. In reality, even at the height of the pandemic, in England, for example, only 0.27% of the community population had COVID-19. So to reiterate, the average American thinks that coronavirus has killed 30 million people in the US. That's more than 29,800,000 than it actually has. Gee, I wonder why people overestimate the severity of COVID to such an alarming degree. Can't quite put my finger on what it might be.
Coronavirus chaos, a dire new warning.
A wave of panic across the country.
Worst case scenario, second wave.
A second wave of coronavirus infections this winter likely will be worse.
Is this the dreaded second wave?
Second wave of the pandemic.
How bad could it get? This is along the lines of the Spanish flu.
The worst case scenario is the Spanish flu.
So it stands to reason that much of the freak out over masks is because the average person thinks coronavirus has killed around 200 times more people than it actually has. In tourist hotspots in the UK, residents are literally leaping out of the way into the road when they see a person walking in the opposite direction. Even as COVID deaths in the UK have slowed to a trickle, with total weekly death tolls below the five-year average, many people are still too scared to go outside. Many people are also too frightened to go to the hospital, a factor which experts have warned will cost hundreds of thousands of lives due to untreated cancer and other illnesses. Now, as you know on this platform, I'm not allowed to question the same health authorities who once told us that there was no human-to-human transmission of coronavirus. So I'm duty-bound to remind you that there's no debate whatsoever about the efficacy of masks. Experts and epidemiologists in countries like the Netherlands and Sweden totally haven't said that they're pointless and don't work. Eli Perenovich from the University of Iowa totally didn't say, quote, "They probably won't protect you because people touch them all the time." The science is totally settled. Masks work, and anyone who says otherwise is a granny killer. But whatever you believe about the necessity of masks, no one can deny that they've become a political issue within the space of a few.
And he goes on and on to talk about some of the politics of masks and everything else. But this is why I consider myself a libertarian. I don't want millions and millions of uninformed people to be making policies that direct my life. I respect their right to be uninformed. I don't have a problem with that. As long as you're on your own. The problem is because we have got a country now that cannot think its way out of a paper sack. And unfortunately, kind of the mob rules now, as we've seen in a whole host of different areas. And politicians listen to the mobs because they want if the majority is freaked out about coronavirus, then they want to look like they're doing things about coronavirus. But see, that's the problem. We don't have an informed population here. We do not. We don't have a lot of people who can really think on their own. And once they get their minds made up because their favorite Hollywood star or their favorite politician or their party says one thing or another, they suspend all thinking. And they will rebuff any facts to the contrary. If you don't agree with what they already believe, then they really just don't even want to hear it. I can imagine that that has happened to this show many times, even within both parties, as I criticize them both equally. And that's why I don't trust my fellow American. Again, I don't even really judge them. You can be as uneducated as you want, but you don't get to control my life because you misunderstood the risk of something. And you got enough of your buddies because of social media to all get freaked out about the risk of something. That shouldn't have any effect on my life. I should be able to just freely live. And business owners who aren't scared should be able to freely just open their businesses and do what they see fit. I've got more of this stuff about some of the costs of what we're doing for these lockdowns. And I'm almost sorry I'm doing an entire two-hour show on this today, but there's so many other facts out there that are not being reported anywhere, and particularly when it comes to the cost of the reaction. If I hear another person say coronavirus caused this recession or coronavirus cost us all these jobs or we've got to rebuild our economy because of coronavirus, I'm going to lose it. It has nothing to do with a virus. It has to do with the reaction of politicians and bureaucrats to a virus, things that have been with us since the dawn of man. It has nothing to do with the virus itself. It has to do with the reaction to it. And I'm also curious. I was flipping around TV channels this weekend. I saw the NBA's was playing. I'm going to be curious as to the number of NBA players who are currently hospitalized or just flat out dead from coronavirus. I mean, apparently they can pant all over each other and rub up against each other for hours and hours, and they seem to be fine. But our kids are not allowed in college to go to a party. They can't have more than 10. Have you watched an NBA game? A lot of close contact, a lot of heavy. It is the perfect storm. You would think that we would be seeing NBA players carted off the court on stretchers, with death imminent with this stuff. And this goes into all kinds of other groups that are out there operating on a daily basis, and nothing is happening to these groups. Even offices that are open, that are sane and working, they're not dropping dead. They're doing fine. And yet they're still putting us on lockdown in certain areas and still threatening us. So just like I talked earlier, in Oxford, Mississippi, if you have, I think, more than 10 people right now, you could be kicked out of the university. Kicked out. After what? After 3 years, you're in your senior year at Ole Miss, you've studied hard, you've done everything, they're going to kick you out of school for attending a party with 12 people at it? This is just mass insanity. But again, there are some other costs. I'm going to get to that too, because these things are just flat out not covered. And maybe people, I keep having hope in people. I really do. I keep having hope that maybe people could hear some things that would make them go, huh, I didn't really think about that, or I hadn't considered that, or yeah, I guess that's true. You know, all these little things. I don't know how many people out there are capable of changing their mind on anything anymore. Yet I continue to soldier on. I'll try again when I come back. Stay with me.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, welcome back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. We're looking at the other side of the lockdown ledger. People like Anthony Fauci, Deborah Birx, Thomas Dobbs here in Mississippi all want us to believe that shutdowns are simply a linear thing, right? Keep people at home, close businesses, restrict occupancy at restaurants. Do all of these draconian things, and the disease won't spread, and fewer people will die or be hospitalized from COVID. That is their thinking that has gone on. And to be honest, that's their job, is to think about those things and weigh in on the health things. It's just that they're running policy and nobody's speaking up for the other side of this thing. Nobody in these governments is saying, okay, well, we understand that, but we also have to weigh that against. I mean, there's been very, very little of that. I saw this story. In a landlocked country in West Africa, children are starving to death. As each month of the coronavirus shutdown goes by, many citizens are largely dependent on crops they grow for their income, but with the markets closed, they can't sell their products or buy what they don't grow themselves. The story repeats itself from sub-Saharan Africa to Latin America to South Asia, the Associated Press reports. Also, due to coronavirus shutdowns, many are cut off from medical aid as they wait out the pandemic. As a result, children are starving to death worldwide at a rate of 10,000 a month. Another 550,000 have wasting disease, which is also known as malnutrition. 10,000 children a month dying from the reaction to COVID, not from COVID. That's a lot of kids, if anybody really cares. There's some headlines today on Drudge. I was scanning the headlines just to see during the break, as I do. It's so funny to me that here are some of the headlines that economically. Where are these? Economists see a chance of a double dip recession. Oh, you think? I mean, what's the double dip? We're in a recession. We haven't gone into recession and then climbed right back out of it, notwithstanding these $6 or $7 trillion they pumped into the economy. If people understood economics, they would understand that's a bit of a problem. That's a bit of a red flag. If you can't juice your economy with $6 or $7 trillion between what the Congress has passed and what the Fed has injected, if $6 or $7 trillion doesn't keep you at least steady over the course of just a few months, then we've got some big problems. Government debt levels at World War II levels. Cutting won't be easy. White-collar workers feel the squeeze. Here's another one. New Orleans braces for evictions. Belongings pile up in the street. Hedge funds profited off of pain of malls. So these are all the other side ledger type things. And then there's this one that I brought up last week, but I wanted to find out a little bit more about it. It was in the interview with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. that I played. I think I played it last week during my health show. And he referenced a study that was done back in the 1980s about the economy and additional deaths. Corporate Flight, this is the name of the book, Corporate Flight, The Causes and Consequences of Economic Dislocation by Barry Bluestone, Bennett Harrison, and Lawrence Baker. Corporate Flight was published in 1982, mainly had to do with the companies moving operations overseas. So this was back in the 80s when offshoring really started getting cranked up and jobs were being shipped outside the United States. And these guys said, well, I wonder what the health impacts of that are going to be to people, not only because economics and health kind of go hand in hand in a lot of ways. Here's what they said. According to one study, and this is the one by Bluestone and his fellow authors, a 1% increase in the unemployment rate will be associated with 37,000 deaths, including 20,000 heart attacks, 920 suicides, 650 homicides, 4,000 state mental hospital admissions, and 3,300 state prison admissions. I'll say that again. A 1% increase in the unemployment rate will be associated with 37,000 deaths. 920 suicides, 650 homicides, 4,000 state mental hospital admissions, and 3,300 state prison admissions. Now, we've seen the unemployment rate go here. The number that's reported that is bogus in itself. It's why we've had a bit of a suicide problem in this country for quite a while. But we've seen it go from, what, 3.5 to what this ridiculous number they come out with now is 10.6 or something like that, 10.9 is what they say it's come back down to now. If you look at the number of people who are actually claiming unemployment right now as a percentage of the workforce, I believe that puts the unemployment rate at around 17.5%. But our government, through all its little trickery, seasonal adjustments and birth-death models and sketchy little surveys, they say it's 10.9, but if you even use their number, that's seven points higher than it was when this whole thing got kicked off. If this report is accurate, if this study, and they did a study, they didn't guess at this thing, they did a study, what, at 37,000 times 7 points, and again, I'm reading a headline that says, well, a double-dip recession, we had another 1.1 million people lose their jobs last week, file for unemployment last week. So if we even have a 7% increase, and again, that number is so bogus. I hate to even use it. It's really 13%, but even if it's 7%, that's let's do the math here real quick. I'll get my handy calculator here. Let's see. That's 7 times 37,000 deaths. That equals 259,000 added deaths for what the coronavirus lockdowns, the reaction to it, will cause. 259,000 deaths. And before you even get into that part of it, I've already reported that Denver has seen a doubling in deaths at home from heart attacks because people couldn't go get treatments in the hospital. That's something new. That wouldn't have been included in this first study because hospitals were open and operating and nobody was scared to go get medical treatment during the 1980s when offshoring started to go. But the other nefarious thing about this is that the population was 43% less when this study was done. So let's just add, let's do that times 1.43, add the other 43% of the population, you get 370 new deaths from the lockdowns, not from the disease, from the lockdowns. I wonder if Thomas Dobbs has ever seen that statistic. I wonder if that's informed any of his decisions, or Anthony Fauci, or Deborah Birx, or Andrew Cuomo. I wonder if any of these people have looked at the other side of the ledger in these things and seen that we're running the risk of 370,000 more deaths as a result of lockdowns. And I believe that this $175,000 person figure that they're giving for deaths for coronavirus is wildly inflated in the first place, because they've counted so many people as COVID deaths that were just happened to have COVID when they died of something else, like alcohol poisoning or automobile accidents. I've played clip after clip after clip on this show of health authorities explaining how they determine a COVID death. And they basically say, if anybody dies of anything and they've got COVID, they're a COVID death. We've talked about the fact that hospitals get paid more money by Medicare, Medicaid, and other government programs, that if somebody dies of COVID or comes in as a COVID case, the hospital automatically gets $13,000 from Uncle Fed for that. If they get put on a ventilator, I think it's $39,000 the hospitals get. It's probably why a lot of people got put on ventilators, and ventilators were essentially a death sentence. There's your medical mafia for you. I'd be very curious, and we will never, ever know how many people actually died as a complication of coronavirus. We'll never know that statistic. It's some. I'm not calling this thing a hoax. I don't believe it's a hoax. I think there's people that are vulnerable to this thing. As soon as it gets and starts causing you distress in your lungs, there's a lot of people very susceptible to that, so it's going to happen. But there you go. So we've got 10,000 kids a month around the world dying from starvation. Another 55,000 have wasting disease, meaning they're malnutrition right now because they've cut off supply lines. They've shut down markets. They've interfered with world trade. And you got 37,000 deaths we just did the math, about another 370,000 deaths in this country alone just because of the economic price to pay for so many people losing their jobs, businesses being shut down. And again, this is the other side of the ledger that nobody wants to apparently look at. I've got a weird question. I may get to it after this. I don't know. I may call an audible. I had a couple other news stories to get to. We'll see what I come up with next. Stay with me.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
Final segment. I've done my talk therapy for today to try to parse out and throw some additional facts the other side of the ledger to coronavirus lockdowns, and trying to figure out why we've lost our collective minds. As a libertarian, boy, this could be a pretty good time if you had a libertarian government, because everybody who's so scared to death of coronavirus would stay home. You'd have short lines. You could go to Disney World, you know, and you know, move about freely. No mask mandates, no nothing. If you were a brave person who, you know, took care of your health and felt pretty confident moving about, this would be a great time to be alive. Plane tickets would be cheap. You wouldn't be crammed into a plane. You could go to parks. You could easily get seats at a restaurant. Restaurants would treat us like kings and queens, those of us who would dare venture out. But we don't have a libertarian society where the people are in charge of everything. We live in Republican-Democrat world where authoritarians of both parties exert their will over everybody. This was a weird, probably not surprising. This was Tennessee. I don't know if this is going on in Mississippi, and you might have heard about this. Teachers, not real hip. Schools not real hip on allowing parents to see what goes on in their child's remote learning.
A school district in Tennessee is taking heat for asking parents to sign a form agreeing not to eavesdrop on their kids' virtual classes over concerns they could overhear confidential information.
But after pushback from parents, Rutherford County School District is allowing them to tune in with permission from the teacher. But parents are not allowed to record the classes.
Here to react is founder of Proclaiming Justice to the Nations and mother of five, Lori Cordoza. Help us out. Why would a school, and I think I might know the answer, why would they not want parents to see what teachers are teaching their kids?
Well, obviously, because they are teaching our children propaganda that they should not be teaching. They are trying to socialize our children. We have had a major problem. Excuse me. We've had a major problem in education, not just here in Tennessee, but across the country, where they are indoctrinating our children with propaganda. And not only that, they're telling parents in this agreement that they had to sign that if they violate, or they know, if they know that somebody else is violating and tuning in, they're to tell that parent. And if they violate this after they sign the agreement, if they violate it, then they can remove the child from the virtual learning classroom. What does that mean? Does that mean somebody from the school district is going to knock on my door and pull my kid out of my home, his virtual classroom? Or is it going to be my tax dollars that fund my child's public education? My child won't get to participate in education because of it. What are they trying to hide?
That's a good question, isn't it? I mean, just think about this. I remember when I was a kid, there were days that parents would come in and sit in the classroom or something. You know, I used to really love it when, especially my mom, maybe a couple of times my dad, but this was back in the day when, you know, this was the 1970s. The dad kind of did his thing and mom was kind of in charge of child rearing. For the good or bad. I mean, I've been a single dad. I don't mind doing child rearing myself, but I used to love it when my mom would come and she might sit in on a class and then she'd come and eat in the cafeteria. It was always kind of cool. You know, when you saw somebody's parents there, you get to, I don't know, it was exciting for some reason. Now you grow out of that when you get into high school, don't you? Well, junior high for me. Last thing I wanted to see was my parent anywhere around me. That's what happens. Heartbreaking when you're a parent, but when you're a child, you want nothing to do with them. But they won't let you sit in on your show. Listen to those rules. First, they say you are not allowed to monitor your child's classroom instruction on Zoom. On what basis is that? You're forcing my child to sit at home on a computer and do a classroom. What, I have to leave the room? You control freaks in education, you won't allow us? It does bring up what are they hiding, but it gets even worse than that. They said, If you do it, or if you know of another parent who is violating this rule and eavesdropping on your child's education, eavesdropping, you pay for it. The child is yours, not the school's, but they act like there's some kind of secret instruction that you're not allowed to be privy to. I got to tell you, between, you know, look, there's some good teachers out there. We love you, good teachers. We really do. It's not an easy job. I can't imagine. I could probably teach maybe something in high school, possibly. But boy, I couldn't be in a room with 30 small kids. That is just not the way I'm wired. So God love you for doing it, particularly if you do a good job of it. But teachers are really turning into a bit of a snowflakes, too, with their hysteria about the health stuff. And now policies like this, hopefully it's not going on in Mississippi, but if you think about how alarming that is, they're forbidding you in your own home to listen in on your child's class, and if you know of some other parent that's doing it, you need to tattle on them too. And if you don't tattle, if we know that you knew that Miss Johnson down the street was listening in when we directly forbid her from doing it, we'll kick your kid out of school too. I mean, what are they saying? If this does not make every parent out there who has got a child doing remote learning right now not want to tune in to hear exactly what's going on, you know, what this school did was they put out, most parents are not engaged with their child's education. A lot of, I would say probably the majority of parents look at school as essentially a great babysitter to get the kids out of school. I liked school for my kids. I think I probably could have taught them a lot of things they'd never learned in school by doing homeschooling, but I liked doing the social stuff. I enjoyed school, made a lot of friends. It developed me as a human being, but I know my kids were never splitting the atom at the schools that they went to. I still felt like I needed to educate them at home, but I like them going off to school. Most parents just want to go. So nobody's really listening to these calls, or very few people are engaged, sat down with the kids and go, huh, I really want to find out the quality of the education you're getting, so I'm going to listen to. But the school puts out this ridiculous prohibition on parents eavesdropping on their children's class like it's none of their business. And all that did was send up a giant red flag that made everybody in that school district probably want to listen in to figure out what in the world they're teaching these kids that they don't want the parents to know about. And it certainly would be the case for me if my kids were going through some level of online instruction. I would certainly want to know now. Now, I know the teachers do not want the accountability of an adult listening to them. They do not. It's going to open up, you know, some parents are... or whiny, and they might not like it, and open them up to complaints. Well, tough noogies, you're the one who sent the kids home. You're the ones that won't allow the kids to come back to school. So sorry if you don't like the fact that a parent might listen in on the class, but that's on you. Most of these kids want to go to school. Most of the parents want the kids to go to school. People that haven't been completely freaked out about it. Again, you got better chance probably over the next 4 days as we see the weather come in from these hurricanes. You got a better chance of your child being struck by lightning than dying of COVID, yet they're still forced to stay home and go through these ridiculous policies to keep them apart from each other. But if you've got a kid being educated at home, it's making me want to go. My son, I know, is on all remote learning classes up at Oxford. I'm paying for an apartment up there so that he can essentially wake up, roll over in bed, flip open his laptop, and suddenly he's in class. He does not have one single campus class this semester. It certainly makes me kind of want to tune into some of those classes too and see exactly what it is that's being said. I may have to find out if I can do that. If anybody gets a heads up, or you hear anything kind of funky coming in through your kids' remote learning, we certainly would like to hear about it here at WYAB. I'm almost scared to find out what they're trying to hide from all the parents. That's all the time I got today. Stay tuned for Doc Livingston, the rest of the WYAB program, and see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.